You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.
Oh, yeah!
Oh, wait, I missed it. Mixed martial arts.
Mixed martial arts. How do we like our martial arts? We like it mixed!
We missed you, Casey. We missed you on last week's preview show, that's for sure, because the UFC returns home. Last weekend, they were in Charlotte, North Carolina. This weekend, back to the hallowed Apex, and they bring with it a strawweight main event between the two women you see on the screen right now, Mackenzie Dern taking on Angela Hill. It's a fight card, and it shouldn't be horrible to watch, but as far as star power goes, obviously not the best card of all time, but we're going to try to make a positive out of this. Welcome to the UFC Vegas 73 live preview show here at MMAfighting.com. I am Mike Heck. I'm being joined by my best friend, Alexander K. Lee. Hello, AK.
Hello, everyone. UFC Vegas 73. Fantastic.
Just keep it on there. Just keep it up there and see how awkward we can get. This is incredible. Is Jose back with us?
Oh, Jose Young's missing right now.
There he is. Yes. Jose Young's will be joining us in a little bit. But AK, you are our weigh-in guru. And as it comes with most of these UFC cards, something can happen on the scales. And apparently a couple of things happened on the scales. So give us a weigh-in recap here for those who may have missed it. The two misses, all the fights are going to move forward as of right now, but update on what happened at the official weigh-ins a little while ago.
Yeah. Fortunately, no issues with the top two fights. Mackenzie Dern, Angela Hill, no problem. Mackenzie Dern was in pretty early. I think she was like the fifth or sixth fighter to weigh in. So her weigh-in problems long behind her. And penultimate fighters, Edmund Shabazian, Anthony Hernandez, also on weight. It was just a couple of issues with the prelims. We had Vanessa Demopoulos come in 117.5, so 1.5 over the strawweight limit for her fight with Karolina Kovalkiewicz. And Orion Kosi, his fight with Gilbert Urbina, he came in 172.5, so 1.5 over. Second straight time that Orion has missed weight. He also missed weight for his fight with Blood Diamond last year at UFC 277. So 20% for both fighters. They will proceed as catch weights. We still got 7 prelims. 5 main card fights, but yes, a little trip up with the scale, Mike.
Now, AK, as our weigh-in guru, and I know, and on to the next one, you don't like to reward weight missers, but we don't like to make excuses often, but Alan Joban, who is there, tweeted out earlier this morning that someone pulled the fire alarm at 1:30 a.m. Everybody had to be evacuated from the hotel, and it took a long time to turn it off and get everybody back in there, so everyone was a little tired and sleepy. Probably threw off some potential weight-cutting schedules. Do we give Orion Kosi and Vanessa Demopoulos a bit of a pass because of this today?
I mean, weight cutting is so dumb. It's just so dumb, though. It's like, if that is enough to throw you off, then you're probably, and again, this is not just these two fighters. I'm saying all fighters. Like, it shouldn't even be cutting it that close. That's how dumb weight cutting is. I know we've been beating this dead horse forever, and we at this point, we should accept it is part of high level MMA, and it always will be. Like, I don't, I'm not a defeatist, I'm not a pessimist, but I'm saying I have to be realistic, and I don't know when a day is going to come when fighters are going to agree to fight closer to their natural weights, or we get more weight classes, more increments. So you're not doing these like 10, 15 pound jumps between weights, and you're stuck in, a lot of fighters are just stuck in the middle. Loopy's fighting at 120 again for some reason. I don't know if that's because she's having trouble, if there's an issue with 115 or 125, but I don't know. Why aren't there more catch weight bouts? So, Mike, you're right. It's worth mentioning. Certainly the fighters had their routines disturbed and thrown off, but I don't know. Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill were supposed to fight last week. Didn't seem to affect their weight cut. So my sympathies. I hope everything's okay with Vanessa Demopoulos and Orion Kosi, but I don't have a little bit of sympathy, Mike. Only a little bit of sympathy. I don't know if we can use that as an excuse. Weight cutting is dumb.
Fair enough. I mean, Loopy took this fight on less than 2 weeks' notice, so
give her
a little bit of a break. Dakota is supposed to fight Pollyanna Viana, but Jose joins us now. Good to have you here, Jose. And we have a main event between Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill, and I know we talked a little bit about this on BTL yesterday, but What are your thoughts on the matchmaking here? Because Angela's on a 2-fight win streak. Mackenzie Dern has lost 2 out of 3. Some people feel like she's lost 3 in a row, but the UFC is still clearly high on Mackenzie Dern and, you know, kind of see her as someone who can make a run in this division. So what do you make of the actual matchmaking and just this fight from a stylistic perspective? Because it just seems on paper, BJJ versus Stryker. If Mackenzie gets to the ground, it's her world. If she can't, Angela Hill could pull off an upset here.
Yeah, it's very every definition of the word a striker versus grappler. Mackenzie Dern is one of the more decorated, if not the most decorated female BJJ practitioners in the UFC, if not all of MMA. And then Angela Hill, I think, has the second most significant strikes among women in UFC history. And I think she's the only other female in the top 10, and the only one above her, I believe, is Joanna. And then like Max Holloway is like no one's catching him at number one. So this is every definition of the word. Striker versus grappler. I'm surprised these two have never been matched up solely because it seems like Angela Hill has fought every single woman in this division. I think off the top of my head, she has the most, if not the second most fights ever in strawweight history, UFC strawweight history. I know Carla Esparza was around for a long time. Randa Marcos fought in the UFC, fought for a long time. She's not in the UFC, but there was a point in time when it seemed like she fought like every other month. I know she has the most losses, and I know she's tied for most split decision losses in all of the UFC, I think, with Jorge Masvidal and I want to say Clay Guida. So she's fought pretty much everyone, and she's faced pretty much every style of opponent you can. Doesn't have any submission wins, has a lot of decision losses, has never been knocked out, has been submitted. So I like the matchup on paper because this is kind of what mixed martial arts is about, just kind of putting two very high-level martial arts that are very highly skilled in their area of combat and seeing who's the better. Yeah, I like this fight. I'm more so when they announced this fight, I was surprised that these two had never fought because Mackenzie Dern is – when did she make her debut? 2017, 2018? And then Angela Hill was one of the inaugural strawweights because she was on Tough. And then she obviously went to Invicta after a couple losses, won the title, and then came back and has just been fighting everyone they give to her. So she called herself the female cowboy. I tend to agree. So, yeah, I like this fight. I don't know if it's main event worthy, but it makes sense that these two women would match up eventually.
This will be the 28th pro fight for Angela Hill, the 23rd inside the octagon, AK. Yeah. So obviously, big opportunity for Angela Hill. What do you think of this matchup? I mean, with all the fights in this card, this probably has to be the main event, if we're being honest. But what do you think of the matchup, potential 25 minutes between these two women?
Yeah, I like it. I like it. Again, listen, we're in the new, this is the ESPN Plus era, the UFC Apex era. This is what a modern fight night main event looks like. And again, this sounds so like such a backhanded compliment to Mackenzie Dern and Angela Hill, because they are top 15 ranked, both in the UFC's rankings and in the more important MMA fighting global rankings. We have Dern at number 9. We have Angela Hill at number 13. I've seen some people question like Angela Hill's sort of ranking and like standing with the company. But again, it's a lot of those losses were close losses to top 10 fighters. She stays busy. She gets wins. That's probably one of the best ways to stay in the rankings and to, you know, it's just stay active. So yeah, listen, she's not Khabib, you know. Angela Hill is not 28-0 or whatever. But again, those losses are explainable. She always brings it. So yeah, I don't think anyone should complain about her being the, I would say in this case, I guess the B side of this main event. I think Mackenzie Dern, besides just being higher ranked, probably has a little more cachet, a little more, I guess, star power, which sounds weird because Angie's been around for such a long time. But, you know, Mackenzie has been, again, you know, a star in the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu world, as Jose kind of mentioned, and someone who's been like hard pushed since getting to MMA. A lot of people saying she could be a star, she could be a champion. This is her third time headlining a card. Again, this was supposed to happen last week, was not originally a headliner. Mackenzie Dern, 0-2. 0-2 so far in headlining bouts. I would say this is her most favorable matchup yet of those fights. Marina Rodriguez was the last one. And then that was two headliners ago. She just lost that majority decision to Yan Xiaonan, which is also a headlining bout. So you could argue maybe she should have been able to beat Yan, especially like if she'd shown a little more diversity offensively on the ground. This is the big complaint everyone has, like, why can't she just do more ground and pound besides going for submissions? But hey, guys, you listen, we're not Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu black belts. We probably shouldn't tell her how to do it. Does she need to, you know, kind of up the offense a bit on the ground against Angela Hill? I think so, but we'll see how it goes. We'll see if she's developed. But yeah, I think it's a fine matchup. I understand the lack of enthusiasm around the card, but at some point, again, like I was saying with weight cutting, this is the world of high-level MMA, of UFC-level MMA we live in now. So I say accept it with a smile on your face.
And people act like Angela Hill is stepping in this fight like on a five-fight losing streak, the way that people talk about her. She's won her last two fights, and she got thrown in there against Lupi Godinez as almost a 3-1 dog and beat her, and then fought Emily Ducote, who... When Emily made her debut, everyone thought because of what she did in Invicta, like, this girl's going to be a problem. She's going to go in there and beat Angela Hill too. And Angela just beat her as well and kind of styled on her at UFC on Long Island. So Angela's beat back-to-back pretty good fighters heading into this one. And that kind of brings me to you, Jose, because Mackenzie has had a lot to say this week. She's opened up a lot about the personal issues she's had, going through the divorce, switching managers, stuff with her coach, having to miss some time to get Luke Rockhold, get ready for the BKFC fight with Mike Perry, mm-hmm. all sorts of stuff. She's been very open and honest about it. People are concerned about some of the things she was saying. Maybe her eye is not on the prize, so to speak. Are you concerned at all from that aspect? Do you feel like maybe the focus is out of whack with everything going on in her life? Or do you feel like this is something that is just kind of headline stuff and it's nothing really to worry about?
Well, I wouldn't say her eye is not on the prize because I don't think she doesn't want to win or she's not going to try to win. But anytime you hear if there's a lot of things happening outside of your life, I wouldn't say that it's, I would still favor her in this, but I would, if I don't know what the odds are, but I would shrink those odds because for every fighter you have, like you have a Cody Garbrandt who said like his life was in absolute turmoil when he fought Kai Car France. And he said that played a factor leading into that fight. He said it wasn't the weight cut. He said the weight cut to 125 was not as bad as everyone made it seem to be. It was everything going on in his life outside that kind of, you know, blew up in his face. But then if you believe the headlines you see of Israel Adesanya and his ex-girlfriend, whether that's true or not, I don't know. But he didn't seem to affect him when he fought Alex Pereira. So I think we'll see what type of fighter Mackenzie Dern is when she finally does step in there against Angela Hill. Because if she does lose, I'm going to assume it's because she wasn't as prepared as she could have been or she should have been because of everything happening in her life. I don't think she's going to lose just because she doesn't want to win or her eye is not on the prize. She's going to go in there and try to submit Angela Hill. I would still favor her. Like I said, I would just shrink those odds now, knowing now what we do.
AK, along with everything she's dealt with personally, she obviously has very high aspirations for her mixed martial arts career. She wants to become a UFC champion. You're only going to get so many opportunities in a division like this to have the road sort of paved for you to get there. And like you said, of all the main event matchups she had, this is probably stylistically the most favorable for her. Is this do or die for Mackenzie Dern in terms of getting to that upper echelon, getting that brass ring, maybe getting a title shot? Because if she loses tomorrow, do you feel like kind of all hope is lost on Mackenzie Dern, the potential title challenger? She could still do very well and have fights and have a great career and make a lot of money, but Mackenzie Dern, challenger for a UFC title, does she have to win this fight in order to keep that hope alive?
I'm rarely going to say a do or die in MMA in general, especially for someone who I know she's 30, which is not, you know, it's not old, but it's not exactly young in MMA either, but it's still like relatively inexperienced in MMA. This is her 16th fight. I'm just looking at it right now. And listen, she's had a lot of seasoning. I say she's, you know, she hasn't been competing in MMA for long, but she's had a lot of seasoning. When you've been against the opponents she has, I mean, you know, at some point you are a veteran, you are who you are, and we kind of have to stop projecting like, well, what if this changes and what if this changes? So I'm hesitant to say do or die, but strawweight, again, is a division that I think is moving along actually pretty well. It's not the deepest roster. But listen, we just learned the other day, Amanda Lemos is getting a title shot. So that's someone who I'm pretty sure she came into the UFC after Mackenzie Dern and has now passed her for a title shot. We think Yan Xiaonan, who just beat Mackenzie Dern, is probably in line for a title shot somewhere down the road. Maybe she can just wait for it. As far as we know, it depends how active Zhang Weili is going to be this year. Rose Namajunas is ahead of Mackenzie Dern still whenever she decides to fight. So the line ahead of her is pretty long. And that's concerning. It's when people start jumping over you, that's when you start. It's, and again, it's nothing against her. It's nothing saying like, oh, well, she can't get better or she can't put together a run to get to the top. But it is, it's not getting easier. It's not like, Zhang Weili, I think, is like starving for challengers. It's not a situation where like, let's say, for example, Alex Pereira, you know, he got the title shot with Izzy, one primarily because of their past, of course, their kickboxing series, but also Izzy had wiped everybody out. The timing was perfect. That's not the case at strawweight. So if Mackenzie's going to make a move, like it starts now. It's like if she beats Angela Hill, that doesn't even get her, that doesn't even move her into like the top five, right? Especially in our rankings. That'll maybe move her up one or two spots. It'd be a great win for sure. Angela Hill's a great win. But as far as like her title hopes, it still feels like she's like two fights away. Unless she gets the right matchup next and submits, you know, gets a highlight reel submission, something. So it's not do or die. But like I said, she's pretty far behind with a win. I don't know. I can't imagine how much steeper the climb will be if she loses. So not do or die, but huge, hugely important fight.
How important is this fight for Mackenzie Dern, Jose? Because you feel like with Angela Hill, the UFC loves her. I feel like she's one of those lifetime employed fighters because she usually has compelling and fun fights. She says yes to opportunities. She's not afraid to flip the switch and get back in there on short notice. The UFC loves her for that reason. And I think just fans love her in general. She's got a great personality, very quirky and just fun all the way around. So I feel like the stakes are kind of high for her, but clearly all the pressure is on Mackenzie Dern to get this done. How much pressure is on her in terms of her overall growth in this division?
Well, I wouldn't even put it into like wins and losses in this division. Like I said before, if she's, you know, going through a divorce, didn't have her coach, all this stuff is happening, or just a win in general would probably be good for her mental health. So more importantly than wins and losses, I think she needs something positive to go on in her life. And I know she has a daughter and she's a mom, so that's a major positive thing. But just a win would probably be a major win for her life outside of, you know, title aspirations. But if we're just looking at wins and losses and fighting for a UFC title and the meritocracy, obviously, if she loses, that'll be 3 of 4, losing to Marina, who just lost, losing to Yan Xiaonan, who's probably going to fight for the title soon, if not next, after Lemos and Weili. That's given if Weili wins. And then obviously you said a lot of people think, I thought she beat Tisha Torres. I don't know I think we were both there for that one when we covered it in Jacksonville. So if she loses, I don't think she's out of the title running, because like you said, the UFC loves, like they love her too. Like the Dana White's always seemed to push her. She's been in, what's this, her third main event. So yeah, if they're sticking people in main events, if they're sticking her in main events, they obviously see something in her. If they're going to want to go back to Brazil a lot more often, they'll probably bring her too. A win is a huge, huge speed bump. It sets her back pretty far. A win keeps her on the path. Wins and losses, if she loses, she's not fighting for the title within the next 2 years. But more importantly, a win is probably just good for her mental health.
Yeah, I would agree with you there. And in terms of like the stakes for her fighting career, yeah. I don't know if it's do or die. I don't know if it's that dire, but
it's, I don't think it's do or die for either of these ladies.
Oh, it's definitely not for Angela Hill. It's definitely not. Yeah. No way. Like I said, she's employed for life. But as far as must win, I think we're very close to must win territory for Mackenzie Dern here. I think we are approaching that more so than do or die, because this can be a game of streaks. You could lose 3 in a row and then come back and win like 9 in a row and then find your way back there. So like AK said, it's probably, there are very few fights that are do or die, but as far as like a must win goes, we're in the red zone, I would have to say, for Mackenzie Dern. But I do agree with you in terms of the mental health, just getting the win will be enough. And she seems to want Rose Namajunas next. She's already throwing that name out there. We'll see if she does win and calls her out after. So right now, according to our friends at DraftKings, you can use the code THEMMAHOUR and get a nice little sweet deal if you go to DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, AK, Mackenzie Dern, the favorite, minus 175, the comeback on Angela Hill, plus 150. Who gets this done tomorrow?
I guess I'm going to go chalk here, Mike. I have so many questions again about Mackenzie Dern's ability to get Angela Hill down, to actually keep her down, to do damage on the ground. I honestly, I'm not confident that she's like develops any sort of a ground and pound game that people like. It doesn't strike me that her team would see sort of that public discourse and be like, oh yeah, we really need to change things up and like do more, you know, start initiating more offense on the ground besides submission attempts. If I'm wrong, I'd be happy to see it. If we see just like a little more, again, just a little more ground strikes from Mackenzie Dern, you know, a little more like different tactics to open up her opponent's defenses besides just her unquestionably outstanding grappling. You know, again, if it's just a grappling competition, she's taking out so many people. But loath as I am to say it, you must mix the martial arts. And she's had, you know, limited success with that, to say the least. Her striking is probably, you know, leagues better than when she first got to the UFC, but now she needs to add the ground and pound and she needs the ground striking. And so we'll see. But I am going with her to find a submission. I think the 25 minutes is actually a good thing, I think, because it's going to take her time to find a way to get Angela Hill down. I could certainly see a situation where she gets frustrated in the first, you know, after the first two rounds, and that takedown just doesn't come, and then it's just Angela Hill picking her apart for the last 15 minutes of the fight. Very possible. I think that's why the odds are, you know, pretty close. It's not overwhelming for Mackenzie Dern, but I will go with the favorite here and say Mackenzie Dern submission round.
Jose, are you on board with AK here?
I was 50-50 for this fight, so I'm picking this solely to be different from AK Lee and just not have, you know, kind of a clean sweep across the board. I'll pick Angela Hill. If anyone watched Mackenzie Dern's pre-fight scrum at Media Day, she said that her previous opponents that she lost to, which were very good strikers in Marina and Yan Xiaonan, they said they were just more seasoned and knew how to use the rounds to their advantage. So, like, they weren't just hunting for submissions or looking for like all of these knockouts and submissions. They were just winning the rounds. And she said that that's what veteran experience gives you. And it just, you know, they're not taking unnecessary risks. Now, Angela Hill at one point was kind of taking unnecessary risks, especially against wrestlers and grapplers. I think Angela is a very high level striker. We saw with the Loopy fight that her experience just kind of shone in that, where Loopy started off really strong. And then Angela Hill, like she's even said it in her post-fight scrum, that Loopy got exhausted, and then that's when Angela Hill took over. So I like you guys said, I don't know how much Mackenzie Dern has changed leading into this. I think if we're going to see a major change, it'll be in the next few fights. I don't know how much of a difference we'll see her from her fight against Jan to her fight against Angela. So I'll pick Angela Hill by decision. I think she's going to win rounds. I think it's going to be a very close fight. I bet we're going to be discussing, how did you score that fight? No, how did you score that fight? Because whenever Angela Hill fights, that seems to be how it ends. Lately, she's been on the right side of split decisions, as she said. So I'm going to stick with that. I'll say Angela Hill.
It's a close fight. It really is. And you could break this down in so many ways. I actually feel like the five rounds probably favors Angela Hill a little bit more. I feel like the longer this fight goes, the better it's going to be for her, because I feel like her confidence can rise and Mackenzie's could fall. And the big reason behind this is, look, there is no question about if Mackenzie Dern is going to take Angela Hill down. At some point in this fight, she's going to get Angela Hill down. It's going to happen. She's done it to everybody. She's going to get her down. It's just a matter of what happens if Mackenzie cannot put Angela Hill away. If she sits there in a dominant position for 3.5 minutes and can't get Angela Hill out of there, how will she respond to that? Will she get frustrated? Will she just kind of keep it to the feet? Will she be a little lazier with trying to get the fight back down to the ground? Maybe a little overconfident, perhaps? These are the questions that I have. So I feel like the picks are, it's Dern by a sub within the first two rounds, or it's Angela Hill by decision. I'm making my choice right now. I'm going Angela Hill by decision. I feel like I've been really impressed with Angela Hill. I think she looked good in her, not good, she looked great in her last two fights. I feel like, I don't know if Angela Hill is going to be someone we're talking about fighting for a world title, but I feel like she could have like a nice little run, and I feel like she can get over this year. I feel like if she could fight three, four, five fights this year and pick up a bunch of wins, she could sort of have a similar type of year that Kevin Holland had in 2020. that could happen. She's got to win this fight, and then we'll kind of see where she goes from here. So I'm going Angela Hill. It's a risky pick. I think she wins a decision, and there is a very real world where we're coming on the post-fight show after the fact, and we're talking about Mackenzie Dern submitting Angela Hill in the first 7 minutes of the fight. It could happen, but I've been very impressed with Angela Hill, and I think she's going to get win number three. So there we go. The co-main event, we have Anthony Hernandez versus Edmund Shahbazyan. That is a very interesting fight at 185.
It's not a co-main event. It's not a co-main event, my best friend.
Go ahead, AK. Explain the difference.
Oh, I think people know by now.
Not everybody.
Listen, co-main events. Okay, you're right. There's always someone watching for the first time. listen, main event, I will accept Mackenzie Dern, Angela Hill, two ranked fighters, two people who have been in there with a lot of other name opponents. They're big name fighters. That's fine. And again, it's a fight night card. If this is a pay-per-view, I'd be questioning it. But the second to last fight on the card is not, to me, an automatic co-main. There has to be some sort of either stakes or ranked opponents or some sort of name value. I don't think either. It's a good fight. Edmund Shahbazyan and Anthony Hernandez, both a lot of potential for excitement here. But the name value isn't there. I mean, these guys are both, what, combined 10, 11 UFC fights? They're nowhere. I don't think they should be anywhere near the rankings. I think in my own rankings, I'd have Anthony Hernandez maybe top 20, Edmund Shahbazyan probably not, despite having some good wins before he went on a losing streak. So it's a penultimate fight. It's a penultimate fight. You could have put Fialho, Joaquin Buckley here. It would have been fine. You could have put Diego Fajeda, Michael. You could have reshuffled this card in many ways, and like there's no, you wouldn't have been like, oh well, Edmund Shahbazyan and Anthony Hernandez definitely should have been the co-main event. Like it clearly fails that test. So nothing wrong with being the penultimate fight. It's just it's not a real co-main. Apologies to Mr. Co-main event himself, Kyle Baraglia, who is always co-headlining fights, but I would not call a lot of his fights actual co-main events.
Fair enough. I do want to touch on this fight for a moment, because one of the big things people talk about with Edmund Shahbazyan is like the booking that he's gotten since he came in. It's like it almost feels like we've had Edmund Shahbazyan in our lives forever, but he's only 25, which is like still crazy to think about. Goes on this nice run, knocks out Brad Tavares at UFC 244, and then they just chuck him right in there with Derek Brunson in a main event, and he gets run over. And then we're like, well, this is a young guy. Let's try to get him back on track. Let's get him somebody with somewhat of a name, but not like a crazy ranked opponent. And they give him Jack Hermanson. Jack Hermanson just kind of smushes him. And then they throw him to Nassourdine Imavov, who is on an absolute terror trail at that point, and he gets finished. And then they bounce it back with Dolce Longambula, which is, I like Dolce. He's a fun fighter, but we kind of knew how that fight was going to go. And now, Jose, he goes up to Anthony Fluffy Hernandez, who I feel like is just, this dude is just down to clown, as you like to say. He is up for any kind of a scrap. He'll get in there with anybody. He's won three in a row. Beat Rodolfo Vieira in one of like the greatest comeback, crazy submissions I've ever seen. Josh Framti looked great at UFC 273. And then he goes and taps out Marc-Andre Barrio in September. Is this the right kind of step up for Edmund Shahbazyan in your opinion? Is this the way you would have booked this? I know you're not a matchmaker, but are you okay with the way the UFC is approaching Edmund Shahbazyan with this one?
Sure. As everyone says, this is on MMAfighting.com Slack channel. This is just a very middleweight fight between two people probably outside the top 20. So why not? Just kind of, there's like a bunch of fighters at 185 that are ranked between like 20 and 35 that they could just all fight each other, and people would be like, this is a middleweight fight that's happening. It's fun, but it has zero ranking or title implications. So sure, why not? Not everyone can go from beating Brad Tavares to knocking out Derek Brunson like Israel Adesanya did. They tried it with Edmund, didn't work out, and then they kept giving him all these fights that he came up short, and now they're kind of slowly building them back up. So sure, don't hate it. A win over Anthony Hernandez does wonders for Edmund Shahbazyan's career, because it gets him another win. It'll be his first back-to-back win since that win against Brad Tavares. And for Anthony Hernandez, I know he lost to Kevin Holland, and I know Rodolfo Vieira is very popular and famous in the BJJ and MMA scene, but I would imagine Edmund probably has the... I don't even know if this is even a big thing. He probably is like the more known name that Anthony Hernandez has fought among like all MMA, just because if he had the Ronda rub, he's, you know, headlined cards and stuff like that. So good for both men. A win over either one for either man does is good for their career. But it's just a middleweight fight that happens to be on a card. It's has zero title implications.
AK, do you, as the MMA fighting co-matchmaker, do you like this step up? And I just looked at the betting odds, kind of surprised by this. Anthony Hernandez, minus 200 favorite in this fight.
It doesn't surprise me, though, because Anthony Hernandez is a great grappler. Edmund still hasn't shown he can handle good grapplers. Dalcha Lungambula was like a favorable matchup for him. I mean, he could have lost it. I'm not saying like Dalcha's a walkover, but that was expected to be a striking battle. Edmund has shown he's a good striker. So I think people, a lot of people are probably thinking what I'm thinking, and that's Anthony Hernandez is going to take him down at some point, and then it becomes a ground battle. And at that point, Shahbazyan is just, I mean, he's out of luck, right? I was going to swear there, but he's out of luck, right? I'm sure he's made advance down there. I'm sure they've worked wrestling defense, grappling defense, submission defense, all that stuff. But until I see it, until I see him, you know, overcome an opponent like that, my first thought is always going to be, well, if he gets taken down, it's over. So it might not be fair. And regarding his age, and also like relatively inexperienced, he's only been fighting since 2017. I've said the same thing for Mackenzie Dern. He's only has 15, 16 pro fights, and he's even younger than her. But I always caution in any sport when we go like, oh, this person's only 25. Because once you reach a certain level, your growth actually gets stunted, especially in the UFC, where you're expected to fight a certain amount of times. And fighters say this all the time. I'm suddenly focused on camp, training camp, and not actually developing my skills. And I hope Edmund hasn't fallen into that. But again, when you get up here and you're making UFC money, the pressure is to win now, not to spend your time improving. It's to focus on how do I win now, keep getting those winner's checks, get to my next contract. And just to bring like a sort of an example, out there example, there was I don't know if you guys remember Darius Miles in the NBA. This guy was like one of my favorite sort of like prospects. Like I thought like this guy's going to be a sure thing. Number three pick in the 2000 NBA draft. He got way more famous than too quickly than his talents dictated. And every year I tell my friends like, okay, he didn't do great this year, but he's only 24. And then a couple of years later, he's only 26, guys. It's going to happen. Eventually he was like 29 years old. He was in the league for like eight, nine years at that point. And I had to accept, okay, well, this guy is who he is. Edmund isn't at that point yet. Again, he's only been fighting for about 6 years, but I do feel like he's the kind of guy at some point where you're like, guys, Edmund's only 27. He's only 28. And we'll see like, oh, he's fought in the UFC like 12 times. So Edmund, if you're out there, prove me wrong. I've been wrong about many, many, many things. He's an incredibly talented young man. But I'm just to give a pick, I am leaning towards Anthony Hernandez.
You were talking about Darius Miles.
Yeah.
I, in my entire life, never would have assumed that Darius Miles was brought up in an MMA fighting preview show.
I swear I've done this before. Great. If it has happened, maybe. It was by me. It was definitely by me.
He was an incredibly average NBA player.
Yeah, yeah. But they treated him like he was like going to be a star. He was like a team, one of the original Team Jordan signees. Like Team Jordan's like, yes, I like this kid.
So it was Kwame Brown, and that didn't work out.
I know. It was him and Quentin Richardson. And yeah. I don't want to get down this whole thing. But yeah, look at that initial team. Mike Bibby was eventually on there. And I'm like, okay, pretty good. Sure.
So we'll see how Edmund Shahbazyan, he's obviously he changed camps. He's with Extreme Couture now. So we'll see if that success from his most previous fight can continue into a very tough matchup. But Anthony Hernandez feature bout, the two most recent opponents of Angela Hill are going to battle it out. Emily Ducote and Lupi Godinez, Andre Fiallo and Joaquin Buckley at 170 pounds, some mean mugging going on between those two dudes, and Michael Johnson welcoming back Carlos Diego Fajeda to the UFC. That is your main card. AK, what's the low-key banger? Can be one of those main card bouts that I just ran off. Could be something else. What's standing out to you as a fight that could steal the show that maybe nobody's talking about here?
I'm all in on Natalia Silva and Victoria Leonardo, man. I think Natalia Silva is like a very intriguing fighter at 125. And also, we talked about Victoria Leonardo on the show before in that she's the kind of good losing fighter I want to see stay on the roster forever. She won her last fight, fine. But when she goes out, it's always by like some spectacular knockout or something like that. So I don't know what the odds are. I'm assuming Silva is a pretty decent favorite. I'm just gonna look. Oh, more than decent. I'm only looking at Topology. Mike, can you bring this up on DK? I'm a little curious what the DraftKings odds say.
Silva's the biggest favorite on the card, probably by a lot.
By far.
-900.
That's pretty high for someone in her third UFC fight. But again, I'm a Victoria Leonardo fan. I really am. And I say this because I've seen her fight many times. And when she goes down hard. And I guess that's what people... this isn't a secret, clearly. I'm not like I'm unearthing some inside knowledge here. People who have seen her fight know this. And Natalia Silva, I know a lot of people are high on her. So this feels like a showcase fight for her. And I'm curious to see if she lives up to the hype. Because I think she will. But we've definitely seen fighters fall flat in these situations before. And a Victoria Leonardo upset would be just as thrilling. So yeah, I like that. Big fan of the women's 125 division. I like that one on the prelims.
It's crazy looking at these betting odds because pretty much all these fights from a betting perspective are super tight. Mm-hmm. The second biggest favorite on the card is Joaquin Buckley, and he's -210. And Natalia Silva is a -900. Anthony Hernandez, -200. Mackenzie Dern, -175. And everything else is like -145 to +125, -130, +110, -115, -105. Like everything is really tight. And then you see that Natalia Silva line pop out and you're just like, oh, okay. Jose, what's the one that's sticking out to you that no one's talking about that you're excited for?
I mean, if I have to watch one fight on this card outside of the main event, it's probably Joaquin Buckley. The Joaquin Buckley fight, because someone is going to sleep in that fight, because those guys are, I'm going to get you or I'm going to get got. Andre Fiallo was on the verge of like making history because he won in April, May, and then he fought in June 2022. And I know he fought Michel Pereira in his UFC debut at 270. So he had like four fights in 6 months. And then that last fight, he lost to Jake Matthews. And everyone, including people on this website, were like, Jake Matthews is so good. And he's like, never looked better. I'm like, he just beat a dude who fought three times in 3 months. And none of those wins were exceptionally like amazing. Like he beat Miguel Baeza, who was on a losing streak. He beat a guy, I can't even remember his name, and he lost to Michel Pereira. And then everyone's like, Jake Matthews is boxing, you're so good, this and that. And then Jake Matthews got absolutely like didn't get knocked out, but like Matthew Semelsberger just pieced that dude up. So like, Andre Fiallo was a cool story, but I was never impressed with any of his wins, and I wasn't impressed with Jake Matthews' win over him. And then Joaquin Buckley is about, if we're talking guys that talk a lot, Joaquin Buckley is way up there with the Kevin Hollands of the world, the people who talk in the octagon. I know he lost to Chris Curtis, and I know he lost to Nassourdine Imavov, who are both incredibly talented fighters. Obviously, both of those men are probably top 15 middleweights in the world. And then he beat a bunch of guys that like to run into punches, like Jordan Wright. Obviously, the Impa Kasangane knockout is one of the best knockouts you'll ever see. Even Kanye West made a music video about it. But like Antonio Royal loves to run into punches. Abdul Razak Al-Hassan, I think both men were just gun shy because they both fight guys and exceed well when they're fighting guys that just like to run into punches. Guys like Kevin Holland and Logan Storley and Alessio Dicherico don't do that. Alessio Dicherico obviously knocked him out. So I think someone's going to sleep in this fight. I'm curious how Joaquin Buckley looks. This is his first fight at welterweight in a long time.
Ever, right? Yeah.
First time in the UFC. Yeah.
Obviously, he made weight. So I'm curious because how he looks in the octagon, because he was a thick middleweight. He was like a Tyron Woodley type middleweight. Like he was clearly he had to cut weight, but he was muscles on muscles on muscles, and that dude talks a lot. So obviously those are the two. That's the fight I want to see because that one's going to probably have the most violent finish. But then obviously I'm very excited for Victoria and Orion. Fellow weebs out there, two noted Dragon Ball Z fans, so I hope they do well. Orion actually has Shenron tattooed on his body, and I believe he has a Vegeta quote tattooed on his chest, so that dude wears his Dragon Ball Z fandom with pride.
Speaking of fights, I think are going to be really fun that someone's going to go to sleep. I love the Mahashata Slava Claus fight. Mm-hmm. I like that one. That one's going to fly under the radar. I think both guys have avenues to win if they want to shoot takedowns and wrestle, because the takedown defense is the weakness and sort of the kryptonite of both of these individuals.
Yep.
So, but I have a feeling that both these guys are just going to stand there and trade him until somebody falls down. So that should be a fun fight. And then we get Fiala and Buckley right after, which is going to be
Mike,
sick.
Slava did say he like might show some of his wrestling, but I hope that's just like a misdirection or something. We don't want to see that. No, Slava, hashtag keep the martial arts apart. Don't do it. Go for that knockout of the night. Go for that fight of the night bonus. Winning is overrated. Come on.
Do you think this will be the last time we see Takashi Sato in the UFC?
I thought last time would be the last time we'd see Takashi Sato in the UFC.
That dude got head kicked to hell.
I'm not sure.
Yeah. Who's he lost to in the UFC? I know he's lost to Bilal. I know he's lost to Gunnar Nelson. Obviously, mm-hmm. he lost to Brian Battle. And I want to say Miguel Morales or Miguel Baeza. So I knew it was like a welterweight prospect, but that dude's losing to really good fighters. I hope, but if he loses bad again, yeah, probably the last time.
Temba Garimbo, crazy story. His mm-hmm. life, absolutely insane. Go back to the archives to We Got Next when that show was a thing. I talked to Demba about his story and pretty wild, man. Like the movie Blood Diamond is like something he lived essentially. So that's a dude who's seen it all. I am also kind of curious. I don't know how good this fight's going to be, but we got Nick Fiore, who's one of the New England cartel guys, fighting Chase Hooper, moving up to 155. Chase looked pretty good.
Yes.
At 155 on the scale. Put on some size. Looking good. Put on some muscle, lifted some weights. So that'll be an interesting fight. And of course, the great trivia question with Nick is he's got two wins over the great Jay Ellis, who, if you haven't searched for Jay Ellis's name on Tapology, go ahead and do that right now and you'll see what I'm talking about. An absolute Tapology legend, Jay Ellis. So there you go. That's UFC Vegas 73, at least from our perspective, but I'm sure maybe the peeps have a couple of thoughts on this card, a couple of questions, if you will. So let's bring in producer extraordinaire, the baddest dash in MMA, E. Casey Lydon. There he is with his Pig Destroyer t-shirt on.
Yeah. We got centered up. All right, here we go. Hi, everybody. All
right. Speaking of welterweight prospects, where is Michael Morales? What's he up to these days? Why isn't he
falling? I don't know.
Yeah. I like that kid a lot.
Is he booked? I want to say he's booked. I could be insanely wrong about this, but I want to say he was booked. Let's just check.
Max Griffin. Old...
Yes. Max July 1st.
July 1st.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah, so it's way. It feels like in MMA, that's like a lifetime away. We're still over a month away.
Yeah. What was the last fight? July last year?
Right? That was the Fugit fight on short notice.
Yeah.
And it's on the electrifying Strickland Magomedov card. So. That's
and he was supposed to fight Renat Fakhretdinov on that December 17th card. That fight would have been absolutely insane. And now
actually this card looks good. I was talking crap, but this card actually looks good. I just looked at, aside from the weirdo main event, it's actually like a lot of good fights on here. Anyway, that's another discussion.
It's not a main event. It just happens to be the last fight of the night.
It's the ultimate fight. which sounds better than main event. Yeah. There's no main event. It's the ultimate fight of the evening.
The UFC is so good at branding. I'm surprised they haven't actually done that. Like, get rid of the main event and now the ultimate fight. Yeah,
the ultimate and the penultimate. It's like, oh, that's so much better. Like,
Do you think MMA fans know what penultimate MMA means?
Too many syllables, AK. Yeah.
They definitely don't know what ultimate actually means. No, very very few people do.
Just name it the last fight, not the main event.
All right, questions or comments?
What do we got? AK Lee looking good, the stash. Yes.
Thank you, everyone who complimented the stash. I was going through some things in my life. I'm in a better place now. You'll never see that again. Again, thank you, but I also apologize. Yeah, no, there's not a whisker to be seen. Not a whisker to be seen, and you never will again.
It's because people saw him on the McGregor doc, and he's been getting a whole bunch of calls from his agents.
Oh my god! Yeah, clean it up.
Oh, I tried watching the McGregor doc last night. Yeah, I got like I was 15 minutes into it. I was like, all right.
I just don't care about things that I was there for. Like, I'm like, how many
people are this? Yeah, Jose's voice is all over the thing. So
I was stuck in the bubble. I don't need to relive it.
Yeah. It was I'm the wrong audience, basically. I felt I was like, yeah. I need someone's eyes that who've never who knew nothing about McGregor at all. Oh, yeah. And I'm more curious about that. Like, I was just like, this documentary isn't made for me. So I wasn't.
Yeah.
So I would keep going with that first episode. That's the most interesting episode of all. And then I'd probably watch
because that's the furthest away from us now. Time. Yeah. So it's not fresh in our minds.
Yeah, and just like the emotional toll, like the reality of losing to Khabib was like really interesting to watch in the moment. And then when he lost to Poirier the first time.
I'm like, not for nothing.
It's pretty interesting.
Like, is Conor Khabib like the biggest story in terms of like build up that we have ever seen in MMA? I would imagine so. Like, in the history of MMA, what is bigger than the build up and then what happened in the fight, what happened immediately after the fight? Like, because that goes all the way back to the Dolly incident.
Yeah, like, that is
nothing's bigger than that, I think.
It's people, I mean, if there's no there's yeah, it's number one for sure. The only thing that's even in the same planet is Jones DC.
Yeah.
But that's number one with the bullet, Connor and Khabib.
Yeah, Jones DC like number two, but a distant number two for sure.
Yeah, because for sure. Yeah,
because this one had everything. It had
They brought in religion. They brought in family.
And the fact that it all started over. The fact that it all started over in
Artem.
Defending Artem. I think it's amazing. It all started over Artem.
Oh, he's at the center of everything. Everything revolves around Artem. Let's be honest here.
I think that's
true. And after all that, McGregor and Artem like hate each other. Now.
Yeah.
It's going to happen. You know what happened? Just like how we revolve around the sun, Connor just flew too close to the sun. Got too close to Artem, and then it all came crashing down.
It's true.
All right. Cody Winters. That's a jerk question. All right.
If you're trying to make me curious, you've succeeded.
No, nah, just.
Can you speculate on who pulled the fire alarm? beats me.
Yeah, some punk kids. All right, man.
Probably John Anik.
Yeah.
He's probably like, Brennan, the Celtics
probably,
won!
Probably Brennan Fitzgerald so he can field content for his social media pages. No, I'm just kidding. I love Brennan Fitzgerald.
I'm going to say the Menace. Dennis the Menace, Michael Johnson, living up to his name. Also, he's fought so many. He's just bored. He's fought so many times in the UFC. My God.
It was probably young rascal, Chase Hooper. He just had too much soda pop and was wired and couldn't go to sleep. So he's
too many M&Ms.
Yeah, he's not worried about cutting weight anymore. So he's just scarfing down. Yeah, this is true.
I'm going to go with Carolina because who wind up missing weight? Carolina getting a little extra cash. She's a vet. She is a vet. All right. Let's talk about this gentleman.
With a loss, is this the end of the Chase Hooper experiment, Jose?
What's the experiment?
Yeah, that's a great name, the Chase Hooper Experiment. That's my prog rock band.
That's a great name, but like, Chase Hooper is 23. Relax. Like, I know, like, if he loses, I would like to, like, he's already kind of slowed down a bit because for a while it seems like he fought pretty regularly, but like, we don't need another Jordan Mean or another Rory McDonald where they were like prodigies and then they just got burnt out in the prime of their career. If he loses, take time. That's all I would say. But there's no experiment. Like, Chase Hooper is a funny dude. Like, he's a funny guy. He wasn't this hardcore person that, like, he did get a big pop a lot of like the ceremonial weigh-ins and stuff, but he's not going anywhere.
And he's only lost one in a row. It's not like, I think people really oversell his downfall. Yeah,
he's never in the UFC, he's never won two in a row. And he's never lost two in a row.
Yeah, so it's just there's a lot of fighters like that. For some reason, we just put a lot of focus on him.
They put a lot of focus on him.
Yeah, they did. Right? But he himself was a good promoter of himself, you know, in a natural way, not trying to fake trash talk, just being himself. So, yeah, I think, no, if a loss will be in the Chase Hooper experiment, no, he's fine. It'll suck if he loses for me himself. But I think we're good. I think and 55 seems it's going to be better. He just outgrew 45. And now he just, now he, like you said, he got some muscle on him. He's 6'1", you know, seeing 6'1 and a 45er, that's pretty skinny. And
And so, not for nothing, like Steve Garcia is a very talented, durable fighter. And in hindsight, booking him against Alex Caceres in his second UFC fight was a terrible decision. So it's not like he's losing into bad fighters.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to give you a little, take right now, now that I look at it. There is a bonus coming from this fight. Maybe maybe a fight of the night. This fight's going to be great. Like, it's going to be really interesting because both these guys are really explosive on the ground. And both these guys, they fight to have very short nights at the office. This isn't, they ain't decision fighters, neither one of these guys. So I think the grappling exchange is going to be really interesting. I don't know how much they're going to stand on the feet and trade, but we saw Nick's last fight. The dude is tough and durable as hell. Mm-hmm. This is actually a really fun fight. It's going to be a really fun one. So the answer I'll say is no, because it's going to be a good fight.
Yeah. I'm going to put this troll question up. I don't really like it, but just because I want to just kind of rip into this person a little bit.
Casey, who's why you even give him the time? Who cares about?
Which woman? Which woman do you speak of?
One woman.
You got to be specific. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're right. This is woman MMA on not women's MMA, just woman. I just can't, I don't know. Like how long have we had women in the UFC now? What is it? Over 10 years?
Since 2013.
10 years. Like, what are we doing, people? Like,
and there was women's MMA like
before. Before that's just before UFC. That. Yeah. Before just that. Like, yeah. Just stop it. If I see any crap like that, I am banning
some
you.
Some of the most memorable and historic moments in the company came from women. Yeah. Like Holly Holm knocking out Ronda Rousey is like one of the all-time great moments in the history of the sport. One of the most memorable things that has ever happened. And then Holly Holm's first title defense against Misha Tate is an underrated gem. That fight is insanity.
It was a fight of the year like a couple years ago. Fight of the year.
Rose Namajunas winning titles. Like her beating Ioana and Jacek, that whole build to that fight, and then she goes out there and just melts Ioana. Like everything about that was incredible.
Yeah, I just don't get it. I mean, if you want to ask, you know, who cares about heavyweight MMA? I'm like, okay, let's talk. You know,
first of all, how dare you? How dare you?
Say it.
Hakaborda. There you go.
Yeah. All right,
do better, Cody. Do better.
Yeah, do better, Cody. Yeah. What do we got here? Actually, I'm kind of curious.
How much longer until Rose is not eligible to be ranked?
Six
in
months.
Our rankings?
6 months. She actually, I responded to a comment. Yeah. She fought a year ago. It's crazy that Carla fight was only a year ago. Yeah. So it doesn't help. I think a lot of people would then joke like, well, it wasn't much of a fight. When's the last time she really fought? But technically, the last time she appeared in the cage was a year ago. So by our ranking system, we do like 18 months and then you're out. I have fought multiple times, by the way, to say we should boot people out sooner. And I will continue to fight this battle. But 18 months isn't unreasonable. And if she gets a fight booked, you know, within the next month or so, which I don't expect it to happen, but who knows, then it won't seem so crazy. It's just weird because not only she hasn't fought, but like we just haven't heard anything about when any sort of timetable as to when she wants to come back. So I understand why people would just be like,
yeah, that's why like, just take her out of the rankings. Longer. It feels longer too. And like Definitely. Nobody's calling her out because they know it's a waste of a call out.
People have called her out. It just falls on deaf. Like Mackenzie Dern's obviously talking about fighting her. I interviewed Marina last year in Singapore because she was doing like guest fighter stuff. To kind of build the Weili Ioana one. And she's like, because at that time she was campaigning for the title shot, which meritocracy wise, she probably deserved. But Dana then said, you know, the winner, Weili Ioana, will get the title shot. And then Marina goes, well, if that's the case, I want to fight Rose in Abu Dhabi. Mm-hmm. So like people have been calling her out. It's just nothing.
A lot of people.
Yeah. Really?
Manon Fiorro called her out because she was talking about moving to 125. Yep. Because Rose said like she wanted to put on a bunch of muscle and was thinking about it. Tatiana Suarez called for it at either weight. So, I mean, people are calling it, but it's just...
It just... I think everyone's just like, well, I think everyone almost considers Rose semi-retired right now. It's just like, maybe she fights.
Kind of like calling out... Yeah, it's like calling out Stipe right now. Like,
sure.
Yeah. She doesn't need to fight. She's happy fighting or not fighting. Yeah.
I think
Jillian
Robertson wants a piece too because she beat her in the grappling, right? She's been in the grappling. So now she's like, hey, what a quick way to get up the 115 rankings, right? Call out Rose. So, yeah. I don't know. But hey, listen, Rose, if you're out there, you don't have, listen, I've been saying I hate that she's not fighting, but she owes nothing to anyone. She does not have to, if she's just chilling, she's made a good amount of money. She had a couple of championship runs. She's probably just like, I just don't want to fight right now, and no one should force her to. So, yeah. I'd love to see her back just because I like seeing.
Has she even said that in an interview? I don't remember. Has she done any interviews within the last 6 months?
I think she did
one with me. Not in the last 6. You talked to Mike.
Yeah, I talked to her. What, November? December?
Oh wow, really?
Damn. Yeah, so more than 6 months ago. Yeah,
6 months ago.
You're right. I remember that. Yeah, I edited that. But
she's got sponsorship, so she's still making money.
It was a sponsorship thing, yeah. But all right.
But we did talk about fighting as well, so.
A little bit. Hmm. Yeah. Miss you, Rose. Well, like to see you. Like, yeah. I missed the conversation about Rose. That's all. she was good for the sport.
Where does Karolina Kovalkiewicz go with a win or a loss on Saturday? I think she's a very good chance to win this fight. I think Vanessa Demopoulos is super fun. Great personality. She's obviously got a very analytic mind, which is why she does a lot of broadcasting stuff for Fight Pass and other promotions, and well-deserved. I think Caroline's really good. I think this fight's going to stay on the feet a lot. And if it does, I think this is a Karolina fight all day long, but this is why they get in there and fight. But Jose, what do you think?
Yeah, if she wins, I want to see her fight Loma. Like, that's just, that's just what I want. Like, just two very...
That'd be good.
Like, you're right. Just, like, high-volume fights for two women that probably aren't going to fight for the title anytime soon, but, like, that would just be a fun fight. Loma coming off as her first submission win. Karolina has submission wins, but is also, like, more than capable on the feet. So, yeah, Carolyn, or even if Vanessa wins, like, the winner of this, I don't hate either woman fighting Loma. Loma's a very fun fighter.
Yeah.
Plus, if they're going to Sydney, Loma, that's close to Thailand, so just have Loma fight there. She did good, and she fought in Perth, so don't hate that either.
I'm stealing it for Otno. Yeah.
If Karolina wins, that would be three straight again, which would be tie her longest win streak in the UFC. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say Karolina's back if she wins, but I think the rebuild has been complete, and I think if she wins tomorrow, we can kind of throw Karolina in deeper waters. She wins,
and you need to throw fighters like Loma into deep waters too, because she fought Angela Hill in her second UFC fight, and their only other loss was to Lupi. So she's beating who she should be, and she's not gotten over that edge. But like, if you watched her last fight, her last post fight scrum in Perth, she's done a lot of wrestling with the Hickman brothers. So I just think both women, it would just be the right matchup for any three of those women fighting. Either two of those women fighting Loma, I think would be a lot of fun in Sydney.
Yeah, right. I like that idea. Did Jose have a fighter? Did you have a nickname, Jose? This is a great question, Scott.
No. I did not. Because I don't. You can't give yourself nicknames. No one ever gave me a nickname. No, I was just Jose Youngs fighting out of Phoenix, Arizona.
Can I give you a nickname? Can I give you what your nickname should have been?
I bet I've heard it before, but go ahead.
Forever.
Yeah, shocking.
Never heard that one. You come up to Alphaville? Come on.
Nah.
Maybe the Ink Triple B. Inquisitor or Triple baseball B the baseball bully from Boston.
That's
a little a little lengthy.
Well, the Inquisitor seems intense. I don't know. I've never once thought about having a nickname in my entire life.
Yeah.
That's nice awesome. Question. Great question.
It is a good question, because like Oscar didn't have a nickname. I don't think Casey had a nickname.
And he does now. 10-7.
10-7.
Will you, when your next fight, will you be Eugene 10-7 Leiden? Please tell me yes.
That's asking for so much trouble. No. Like,
you should.
It could mean anything. It could be working hours. It could be a date. Sure. Some date.
You're a fan
on
of
the
Ariel's show with Luciana Andrade. You know, big fan.
Yeah. I love October 7th. Yeah, it's my time.
I think you need to have a name. Like, I love nicknames that you're just absolutely perplexed by. So that's what I would want.
What's Kid Kavenbo? Johnny, that's Johnny Munoz, right?
I asked Johnny about that a while ago. I forget what he told me.
Help me. I, every time I see that, I'm like, what is Kid Kavenbo? I don't understand. That's a great
boy.
100%. 100%. That would be my
birthday boy. That would
I'd come up to.
Let's get you a fight just so we can have the announcers say that. I think it'd be worth it. I don't care.
So you can see me get pummeled? Yes.
Well, that'd be a bonus. But
and you walk out to happy birthday? Like, that'd just be the best. Like, your opponent's already in the cage, all jacked up, and then and you just come strolling out with the birthday hat on. You win the fight.
I told you, I hate that song.
Well, that's what it's going to build the rage. You got to get those, you know, that rage feeling in the cage.
Give me the other one. The one they play at like sport arenas. The happy birthday, birthday. I'll do that one. Like, that one is like, you know, a little bit. It's also terrible.
Or the Beatles one. The Beatles one's not bad. What's the Beatles birthday? I say it's your birthday.
Yeah, there's so many better options.
Then it could be everybody's birthday.
Yes.
What's Happy Birthday Lisa from The Simpsons by Michael Jackson?
A great song. Yes, with the Michael Jackson
sound. And then
you should build your entire fight career around The Simpsons. You could be called Mr. Plow. You could just walk through punches at home. You know, it would be great. It would be fantastic. Yeah. You wear like yellow shorts.
Sure.
You just be that weirdo who loves The Simpsons.
Yeah, I'll be dead by my second fight probably. But then but you have what? To it's be great. Then
you have to be one of those Simpsons guys that are like, "Oh, do you like The Simpsons?" And you're like, "Only the first 9 seasons." And you get like I got really the DVDs. That's why I have 1 to 9 tattooed on my wrist because those are the only seasons that matter.
I don't know. I have a friend who's
just like the Ultimate Fighter. The first 9 seasons is all that exists in the Simpsons lore.
No, if you're hardcore, you stick with the series till it dies, like me and the Ultimate Fighter. Or I have a friend who's a big Simpsons fan. He says he still watches it every week, and I'm like, "There's no way."
All power to you, man.
There's just no way.
Incredible.
I don't believe it.
All power.
I don't. Big
if true.
Do we have anything else? This is great, by the way.
Oh, and you can walk out to Oakley Dokley, which is a Simpsons-themed doom metal band from Phoenix. Ooh.
They all dress as Ned Flanders?
Yeah, dude. Yeah. My friend is the lead singer, and they put on the best concert I've ever been to in my entire life.
There's a lot of great songs from The Simpsons you can walk out to.
Mm-hmm.
The Talking Softball song is a great one.
Great. Classic.
So many. Do we have anything else?
I know.
AK Sideshow Lee. That's a great.
Yeah, I like that too. Sideshow. Sideshow Lee.
Oh, man.
Does the sideshow. Hold on. Important question. Is the sideshow before the last name or the first name?
No, Sideshow Lee because it's one syllable.
Okay.
I like it.
Like Sideshow Bob.
Okay.
Let's see. All right. Yeah,
Oakley Doakley does rule, Max Rapkin. I saw them perform at a venue that holds about 200 people, and we destroyed that venue. Like that, they never recovered.
I just want to the results of the poll. Who wins the UFC Vegas 73 main event? Mackenzie Dern, 62%. So I think a little bit. Is that reflective of the odds? I think that's a little bit heavier, right? That'd be like 2-1.
A little bit heavier.
Right? 60%, a little bit heavier, yeah. What are they saying on Topology? Topology has 5-bet matchup close. 76% Dern. Whoa, okay. Wow.
Yeah.
Sure. I think Kill's got a better chance than that.
Yeah.
Oh, it's back for Angela Hill.
I'm picking Angela Hill. Just saying. Man, actually, Shabazian by Topology picks is a big underdog. 30%. I just realized Ira Latifi is on this card.
Oh yeah,
we did not mention him or his fight once.
He's bad.
This could be for the Parker Porter sweepstakes right here. There's a lot on the line here for Aaliyah.
This should have been the co-main event, then. This should have been the co-main event.
Honestly, I'm surprised this isn't the co-main event with the how the
because of heavyweight fight?
Heavyweights. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's actually
kind of,
I'm actually kind of surprised. I think we're good, gentlemen.
Yeah, you can hit the music. We've done it all. We've done it all with this card. But 3:30 p.m. Eastern tomorrow, I believe, People's Pre-Fight Show. So Casey and I will get you ready for the festivities at hand. We'll be back with the post-fight show after the event. And then AK and I will matchmake for it all, or at least for the main card winners and a wild card. On to the next one on Sunday. And then we get a rare weekend off from the UFC. So enjoy this while you can. Then you get a week off, and then right back to the Apex on June 3rd. So thank you for joining us for AK, Sideshow Lee, for Casey, for Jose. I am Mike Heck. Thank you for watching. We'll see you tomorrow, everybody.
Happy birthday, AK. What a weirdo.
You're listening to the Vox Media Podcast Network.